A sanguine sky reigned over Hesiod, and rust-rimed clouds billowed and crashed in the bloody heavens. Ash and smoke laced the breeze, and a pregnant heat lay heavy on the air like a mantle of invisible chain.
"Hell dawn, when the ash banks break and the sun burns," cried Unbel, pointing to the sky. "It heralds the blood. Every time at this inauspicious hour, they come."
In the town square there was a panic. The people hurried from their homes, clutching what meager belongings they could to their chests, clinging to their loved ones. Some were screaming, afraid of what they knew was coming, and terrified that this time they would be dragged into the endless dark. Broigar, the metal shaper, had emerged out of the throng and was trying to restore calm. He and several of the other men were shouting for the rest of the people to take refuge. The horn bayed on, driving the fearful to an ever greater frenzy. "This madness must end," breathed Vulcan, appalled at the terror now seizing his tribe. These were a strong people who endured the ravages of the earth when the ground split and the volcanoes cast fire and darkness into the sky. But the dusk wraiths, the fear they evoked was beyond reason. As his father went to help Broigar and the others, Vulcan ran across the square to a vast pillar of rock. It was the burning stone where the earth shaman went to meditate when the sun was at its zenith. It was unoccupied at that moment, and Vulcan scaled the sides of the monolithic stone without slowing to reach the peak in seconds. Crouching on the flat plateau, he had a good view of the lands beyond Hesiod. Dark orange-flecked smudges marred the horizon line where distant villages blazed. Oily smoke cascaded into the sky from where they'd been put to the torch and their inhabitants burned alive. Nomadic Sorok drovers fled as their herds were butchered. Dactylid carrion eaters turned lazy circles, black against the blood-red sky, waiting for any morsels the dusk wraiths might leave them. The drovers were oblivious to the creatures. They were running for Hesiod's walls, but Vulcan realized grimly that they'd never make it. Behind them, the dusk wraiths taunted and shrieked. Their bladed skiffs hovered above the plain, jagged silhouettes against the red of hell dawn. Though he was too far away to hear it, Vulcan saw one of the drovers cry out as he was pinioned by barbed nets before a half-naked warrior witch impaled him on her spear. Others, tall, lithe creatures wearing segmented armor the color of night, cast javelins from the backs of their machines as they reveled in the hunt. When they were finished with the nomads and the villagers, they would come to Hesiod. Vulcan clenched his fists. Every hell dawn was the same. When the sky was shot red with blood, the shrieking would begin and the dusk wraiths would come. No man should be hunted, not like that. No son or daughter of Nocturne should be made to suffer as the drovers would. Life was hard enough. Survival was hard enough. No more. Vulcan had seen what he needed to. He leapt off the rock, landing in a crouch. Unbel ran to him, breathless with his efforts of rushing the weak and the vulnerable to safety.
"Come on, we must hide too."
Vulcan's face was stern as he rose to his feet and looked down on his father.
"While we hide, others suffer."
Unbel gasped a reply.
"What choice do we have? We stay and we all die."
"We can always fight."
"What?"
Unbel was nonplussed.
"Against the dusk wraiths?"
He shook his head.
"No, son, we would be butchered like those herds out on the plain. Come!"
He seized Vulcan's arm, but was shrugged off.
"I will fight."
All around them, the people of Hesiod were disappearing into secret alcoves and subterranean caves below the town. It would be the same across all of Nocturne. At Themis, Heliosa, Aethonian, and the rest, the seven chief settlements of the planet would flee to their hollows in the earth and close their eyes to the nightmare. There they would stay while the dusk wraiths ransacked and slaughtered, destroying everything they had fought and died to create.
No, I'm pleading with you now. Hide like the rest of us.
Vulcan walked away, headed for the forge. Inbel called after him.
Where are you going? Vulcan!
He went inside the forge without answering. When he emerged, he had two stout smiting hammers slung over either shoulder.
The blood of these people may not flow in my veins, but I am still one of them. I am still of Nocturne, and I will see it tortured no more.
Faced with the fury of his son's righteous anger, Inbel's despair turned to resolution. He hefted his spear.
Then I won't let you stand alone.
To object or deny him would be to insult his father, and Vulcan was not about to do that. Instead, he nodded, and an unspoken understanding passed between them. Though they might not share the same blood, they would always be kin. Whatever waited below the trapdoor in the forge, it would not change that. Together they walked to the middle of the square and stood facing Hesiod's gates. Beyond, the shrieking of the dusk wraiths grew louder.
I have never been prouder of you than I am right now, Vulcan.
When this is over, I want you to seal the trapdoor shut. I never want to know what is down there.
I do not think we will get the chance, son.
Inbel turned to him.
But if we live through this, what about your origins? Don't you want to know where you came from?
Vulcan glanced down at the cracked volcanic earth.
These are my origins. This is where I was born. It is all I need to know, father.
Out of the corner of his eye, Vulcan saw Broigar. He carried his two-handed hammer across his brawny chest, and the torques knotted in his thick beard clanked as he moved. Until Vulcan had arrived in Hesiod, Broigar had been the largest and strongest man of the town. He'd accepted the change in status with a grace and nobility that Vulcan had never forgotten. The metal shaper nodded to Inbel as he took up his place alongside them.
You are the best of us,
he said to Vulcan.
I will set my shoulder to yours, kinsman.
Broigar was not alone. Others were coming from their hiding places to stand in the square, too.
My shoulder to yours,
said Gorve, the planeskeeper.
And mine,
added Rektar, hornmaster. Soon there were over 100 Nocturnians, men and women both, clutching spears, swords, their forge hammers, and anything else that could be used as a weapon. They were a people united, and Vulcan was their foundation rock.
We hide no more,
said Vulcan, and drew his hammers across his body. His gaze narrowed to a point fixed upon the gate. Like a blade held against the forge flame, he fashioned his anger into a weapon he could wield. Too long had they been prey. Now they would rise. Like a voice cut off abruptly at the source, the shrieking ceased. Silence persisted for a moment, haunted by the distant mewling of mauled Sorok cattle or the pleas of dying drovers fallen just short of sanctuary. It wasn't long before their tormentors appeared. Clad in shadows, they moved with a perverted grace, scaling Hesiod's border like slivers of night. Drenched in almost palpable cruelty, the dusk wraiths crouched on the summit of the wall, cackling to one another, baring their teeth and flashing the silver of their savage blades in torturous promise. Leather-clad witches, their long hair festooned with razor edges, carrying serrated spears, wicked falchions, and other sharp instruments Vulcan could only guess at the purpose of, were the first to cross the threshold. With feline surety, they landed on all fours, rolling up on two legs in a sinuous, swaggering motion that suggested their incredible arrogance and sense of superiority. Their eyes were alive with lustful anticipation of the kill, and just the smallest mote of amusement at the defiance of the human cattle in front of them. Their slow advance into the square was intended to make their prey quail. Beside him, Vulcan could feel the other warrior's tension. He also saw the pack mentality in the Dusk Wraith's formation. It put him in mind of the Leonid, the alpha hunters that stalked the Aridian plain. These creatures, these pale-skinned, androgynous things, possessed none of the majesty of those great-maned beasts. Vulcan's lips curled into a sneer.
Soul-shrived ghostwalkers, that is all you are.
He stepped forwards.
Return, he bellowed. Return to your ships and be gone. You will only find steel and death waiting for you here, and no longer cattle for your culling knives.
One of the witches laughed. It was a chilling, evil sound. She said something to one of her kin in the barbed dialect of the Dusk Wraiths, and a lesser male snarled obediently. His eyes were tarry pits that narrowed as they settled on Vulcan. With a shrilling cry, he raced at the Nocturnian who had dared to defy the slavers. He was fast, like a lightning adder. Vulcan told the others, "Stay back!" and rushed to meet the Dusk Wraith. The creature held his jagged knives behind him, leading with the angular point of his jutting chin. He wore no battle helm or mask, but a serpent tattoo was painted on the left side of his face. The distance between the combatants closed in moments, and just before the clash, the Dusk Wraith shifted his line of attack and blurred around Vulcan's flank, intending to gut him from his blind side. But Vulcan had seen the feint coming. Unclouded by fear, his battle instincts were honed to a monomolecular edge that the slaver could not possibly have accounted for. He blocked the blow meant to cripple him with the haft of his hammer and brought the other one down on the witch's skull. A stunned silence fell over the crowd, both Nocturnian and Dusk Wraith, as Vulcan pulled his weapon from the gory smear he had left behind. He spat on the corpse and glared at the female witch.
"Not wraiths at all, just flesh and blood."
The witch smiled, her interest and her ardor suddenly piqued.
"Monkey."
She licked her lips, then blended back into the shadows. Before Vulcan could come after her, the gate to the town of Hesiod exploded in a storm of splinters and fire. Vulcan was engulfed, reduced to a dark and hazy silhouette as the fire rolled over him. Shielding his eyes, he knew he would not die, and stepped from the conflagration unharmed. That alone gave the Dusk Wraiths aboard the skiff pause as it confronted him through the ragged gap in the wall. Warriors, the ones in night-black armor, spilled round the edges of the skiff, eagerly brandishing hooks and blades. Vulcan snapped a Dusk Wraith in half as it swung at him, then crushed another with a blow from his fist. Behind him, he heard his kinsmen attack as the people of Hesiod fought back against the slavers that had plagued them for centuries. Vaulting over a horde of warriors, their blades cutting harmlessly through air, Vulcan landed in front of the skiff. Fingers like iron bolts dug into the lamellar nose of the machine as the Nocturnian turned it over. Screeching slavers fell from the tipped vessel before Vulcan tossed it aside like an unwanted spear. The battered skiff rolled over the ground before erupting in a ball of fiery shrapnel. Two more came in its wake, the first harboring a cohort of warriors. At the orders of its driver, the skiff accelerated to ramming speed, intending to impale Vulcan on the spiked prow. Timing his jump to perfection, he leapt onto the floating barge at full pelt and raced up the vehicle's plated snout like it was the shallow flank of a mountain crag. The warriors came at him, spitting hell shards from their rifles or lunging with jagged blades. Vulcan smashed their attacks aside and was amongst them, hewing with his hammers. Hatred fueled his every swing, together with a determination that the cycle of torture and fear would end here at this very dawn. He tore loose the command throne of the skiff's driver, the warriors a broken mess behind him, and threw it at the third vehicle. An energy blossom flashed as the improvised missile struck a protective field surrounding the last skiff, but Vulcan hadn't slowed and was charging through it. Skin burned as he punctured the energy shield. He landed on the deck of the vehicle and faced off against a cadre of warriors. They looked brawnier than the others and toted bladed glaives that crackled with unnatural power. Each wore a faceplate as white as alabaster, in stark contrast to the visceral red of their ornate armor. The ghosts glared at the interloper imperiously. Behind them, the slaver lord looked through the jagged eye slits of his horned helm. A rasped utterance from his fanged mouthgrill unleashed his warriors. One of the ghosts advanced silently and swung his glaive, but Vulcan dipped from the blow, which left a blazing trail in the air behind it. A second glaive jabbed at him, and this time Vulcan swatted it down into the skiff's deck plating, but was left with a smoking haft in his hand. Another blow reduced his other hammer to ash as he was forced to parry again. Rising from his seat, the slaver lord snarled his displeasure at the Nocturnians' continued existence. With their enemy disarmed, the ghost's arrogance overflowed, and they prepared to finish him. Vulcan growled with contempt. "I need no weapons to kill the likes of you." In a devastating display of speed and brutality, he took the bodyguards apart. Impaled and beheaded by their very own blades, Vulcan threw their shattered remains over the side of the skiff and into the melee below. Leveling a finger at the slaver lord, he promised, "This terror ends with your life." The dusk wraith pulled a glittering sword from the scabbard nestled next to his throne. A dark mist coiled from the blade and pricked at Vulcan's nose. A hollow hacking sound escaped from the slaver lord's lips. It resonated through the mouth of his monstrous fright mask. It was laughter. Vulcan then noticed a needle-like gauntlet on the Dusk Wraith's other hand. He pointed it at the Nocturnian in mocking symmetry of the threat he'd just received. "Pain," he hissed. Even with superhuman speed, Vulcan couldn't reach the slaver lord before he unleashed the gauntlet weapon.
"Son!"
Inbel's voice rang out above the clash around him. Instinct told Vulcan to reach out with his open hand. A subtle change in the breeze suggested something moving through it. His senses alive to everything, Vulcan's fingers closed around the worn haft of a smiting hammer and plucked it blindly from the air. It left his grip a split second later, spinning towards the slaver lord, then splitting his ugly mask before the thought had even entered his mind that he was doomed. His face cloven in two, the slaver lord dropped his sword and toppled off the end of the skiff. Vaulting down to the square, Vulcan set about the other dusk wraiths without slowing. He was of the killing mind, a warrior spirit flaring within that both terrified and excited him. Seizing a passing dusk wraith, he crushed its head to paste within its helm. Another he broke apart upon his knee, a third, fourth, fifth. Vulcan battered them with his bare fists as all the terrors the slavers had committed against Nocturne over the centuries were repaid in violent and bloody retribution. The battle was over swiftly. Unprepared for such stern resistance, the remnants of the Dusk Wraith raiding party withdrew before they were utterly destroyed. Frenzied with battle lust, only the witches lingered. There was one amongst them who had a last knife to stab and twist before she was done. She was at the opposite end of the square, dancing around the spears and swords of the Nocturnians, leaving decapitated bodies with every turn and pirouette. Vulcan's eyes became hate-filled slits when he found the laughing witch. That anger turned to panic when he saw who rushed next into her killing arc.
"Father!"
Vulcan was much more than human. He possessed strength, speed, and intelligence greater than any man. It was how he knew he was different to his kith and kin, but even he could not reach Inbel before those murderous knives. Cursing his earlier wrathful abandon for losing the hammer with which he'd killed the slaver lord, Vulcan clenched his empty fists. The only man he had ever known as father was about to be butchered while he looked on. Every step across the blood-soaked square felt like 10 leagues as the witch's blade circled and flashed, carving, hypnotizing, deadly. Tears of fire blurred the Nocturnian sight, the scene unfolding before him framed by a crimson haze. It would be forever scarred into his memory. Inbel lifted his spear. The witch would cut him open and spill his guts. Her eyes flashed and her gaze met Vulcan's across the carnage. Even in the act of murder, she exuded arrogance. He would remember those eyes, dagger thin and filled with a sickening ennui. They would haunt him, though not in the way he thought. Inbel was hopelessly outmatched. His spear thrust was already travelling wide, even as the shimmering falchions sought out his vital organs. But the blows never fell. With a roar, Broiger threw himself in harm's way. To the metal shaper's immense credit, he parried one of the blades, and it carved a heavy wound along his forearm that drew a scream from the burly tribesman. With the second blade, his fortune faded. It sank deep into his belly, ripping free with a terrible slurch of rent skin. Broiger's innards slopped onto the ground in a steaming pile of offal. For a moment, he stood transfixed by the realization of his own death. Then he fell and was still. Blood pooled beneath the body, expanding in a ruddy mire that touched Inbel's feet. Dazed and prone from when the metal shaper had thrown him aside, he could barely lift his arms to defend himself. Amused at the human's pointless heroism, the witch closed on Inbel. But Broiger's sacrifice had bought Vulcan the time he needed. Mountainous and filled with righteous anger, the Nocturnian was upon his enemy. "Face me!" She recoiled like a snake as Vulcan came at her, fists swinging. The witch was hard-pressed to avoid the blows and could fashion no riposte. She backflipped and wove and twisted until there was enough distance between them to taunt him and then flee. The rest of the witches were dead or dying. She alone escaped the massacre. Outside the shattered walls of Hesiod, a tear opened in the fabric of reality. Endless darkness beckoned from inside the tear, and the screams of the damned echoed in the breeze, promising hell and torment for all who entered. It swallowed the witch last of all, before shuddering closed behind her, leaving only the scent of blood and the chill of near death. It was over. Hell dawn ended, and the Nocturnian sun rose to its zenith. Inbel met Vulcan at the gates. The black smiter was still shaking, but he lived.
"Broiger is dead."
An unnecessary fact. Vulcan had seen the man die. "But you live, father, and for that I will be eternally grateful." His voice still trembled with an undercurrent of the rage that had consumed him during the fight. His chest heaved like a bellows, drenched in alien blood.
"We live, son."
He put his hand on Vulcan's arm, and something about the feel of those old and calloused fingers calmed the Nocturnian, siphoning the tension away. "Such hate. I felt it, father. It touched me as sure as I can feel your hand upon me now." He turned to face the old man, his eyes ablaze like balefires. "I am a monster."
Inbel didn't recoil, but held Vulcan's cheek.
You are a true Promethean son.
But the fury, he looked down. The way I killed them with my bare hands.
Before meeting his father's gaze again, he said,
I am not a black smiter, am I?
The people of the town were gathering. Despite all the death that muddied their streets, the mood was exultant. Vulcan was being hailed as a hero. Inbel sighed, and in it, all of his latent fears about losing his only son were borne away.
You are not. You are from up there.
Vulcan followed his father's outstretched hand to the hot sky above. The sun burned down like a single glowering eye, wreathed in smoky cloud. Vulcan closed his eyes and allowed the heat to warm him, Inbel's voice distant in his mind.
You came from the stars.